God can't, God's word can't convict a Muslim, or God's word can't convict a Hindu or something like that. Just put that to shame, didn't it? All right, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go ahead and stand. We're just going to read two verses. This is really going to be just a launching platform for us before we get into the meat and potatoes of the lesson this morning. Ephesians 5. Let's begin in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. I thank you for the freedoms that you've granted us to be able to do this openly in this country. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to take that for granted, but help us to take the opportunity that you've given to us to learn more about your word and to be better witnesses and testimonies for you. Help me now. Lord, I pray that you'd move me aside. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What I want you to notice there is verse 15 and verse 16 especially. First of all, see then that ye walk circumspectly. All right, that word I had to look up. Okay, I'm just not that smart when it comes to the English language. So circumspectly, we need to walk diligently, we need to walk carefully, and we need to walk cautiously. Let me just stop there for a minute. The world is not doing that today. You talk about recklessness in the world today and the way that people live their lives, and not just with the world, but with Christians. Christians are living their lives recklessly, not giving any care about what God would have them to do, what God would not have them to do, and just going about their day-to-day lives doing whatever they would do. But he says we should walk circumspectly, and then not as fools, but as wise. Of course, over and over again in the book of Proverbs, we're encouraged that we need to seek after the way of wisdom. We should be walking our life in the way of wisdom, seeking that which is wise. And one of the ways that we do that, which is what's going to be the focus of the message this morning, is there at the beginning of verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And John, I guess that'd be the title this morning, is just simply redeeming the time. I've heard a lot of messages on this passage and redeeming the time and the idea of we need to have good time management. We need to be thinking about the time that we have and the time that God has given us here on planet Earth, and we need to be using that in service of Him. And that's exactly right, and that is the point of this message. But as I started looking at this, I said, wait a minute, we got to redeem the time. And I know one definition in my mind of what it means to redeem, and it's to buy back. We're redeemed, amen, those of us who are saved. God bought us back from the bondage of slavery and sin. Hey, Jesus Christ paid the purchase price to buy us back to Him. That's the only definition that I knew of that word redeem. And guess what? That's the only definition that there really is of that word redeem. It's to buy back. Look at the rest of that verse. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. That's why we have to buy back the time that God has given us. You think about your days. You think about the evil that's out there in this world. There's a lot of it. People in this church very recently have been a victim to the evil that's in this world day after day. Yep. There's a lot of it that's going on. But even in our own lives, if we're to look at our day-to-day lives, what a sad testimony, how much evil is there in our own life. Folks, we got to buy back the time from the evil that is already there. It belongs to evil. We need to buy that back. The focus of our message this morning is going to be, how do we go about doing that? So go ahead and turn now to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, we're going to look at a prayer of Moses in this psalm. One of our most precious commodities that God has given to us is the time that we have here on earth. We place a lot of stock in finances and wealth and in ability. But time is one of the most precious things that God has given to us. See, we are who we are. We are who God has made us to be. We have what we have. We have what God has allowed us to have in the way of wealth and ability and all of those things. But the time is what we use the talents that He's given to us. We use time to do that. We use time in order to serve Him. We want to see how to buy back that time. We struggle with the proper use of time, don't we? I think it's demonstrated in a lot of the common sayings that you hear from day to day. I don't have enough time to do this. There's not enough time in the day. How can I make time for this? How time flies. How do you find the time to do that over and over and over again? we hear about time and the difficulty that we have with managing our time correctly. Before we get into actually redeeming the time, and I'm going to take that verse that we launched off with later on, and it's going to tie back in to the prayer of Moses here. But first, when we look at time, we've got to look at it from the framework of God and time and us and time, because the two are not the same. The two definitely are not the same. Look at verse 1 here in Psalm 90. We want to look, first of all, at the eternality of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This was Moses preaching this many, many, many years ago. And you know what Moses said? God, you're my dwelling place. Christian today, who's your dwelling place? It's the same God that it was back then. God was a dwelling place all the way back when you talk about Adam walking in the Garden of Eden and where he dwelt with God. Moses dwelt with God. David, King David, he dwelt with God, spent time with God. It's the same God today, the same one that we're supposed to be dwelling with. God is the dwelling place of man. Man exists only by the will of God. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, you don't have to turn there, I'll get there quickly. Acts 17 and verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." See, even when we talk about time, we've got to get this understanding that the time that we have here living on earth comes from him. We don't have any of the life. If your life is 30 years long, 40 years long, 80, 90 years long, if you have the strength to live that long, that time is given to us by God. We don't get it from any other place. Man exists only by the will of God. Man exists only in the place created by God. Yes. Think about that. Yes. God created this earth. You go back to the book of Genesis and you see that God created the earth. Hey, that's gone today from the mindset of people. You go out this street and you grab the first person walking down the road and you ask them, how did this earth come into being? They won't tell you that God created the earth. Guarantee it. God created the earth. The dwelling place that we have and the time that we have, you know, God set up time. The sun to rule by day, the stars, the lesser lights to rule by night. God set that time up. That comes from him. But God cannot be contained by time. Let's keep looking there in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Let's stop there for a minute and let's explain this. Let me explain it to you. From everlasting to everlasting. Yep. That's about as good of an explanation as you're going to get from me. One of my daughters, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Bella. We were driving in the car, and this was just 2 days ago. And she said, "Daddy, I don't understand how God always was." Honey, neither do I. But he was. Look at what that says. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art. Not thou used to be God. Not you were God back in the days when you used to do those mighty miracles on the face of this earth, but thou art God. Hey, he art God back then, he art God now, and he art God in the future. Terrible grammar, good preaching. God is God. God said him himself. He said, "I am." Tell him the "I am" has sent me. He am back then, he am now, and he am in the future. God is God. He was before the world began. We cannot understand it, but we need to accept that, especially when we think about time, because what we're going to do is we're going to see that time to God is not the same as time to us. See the eternity of God there in verse 2. He was well before the creation, everlasting from everlasting. And now look at this. Notice this in verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. You know, God is the one that is in control of our time as well. First, we see the eternality of God. We see that he's not contained by time, but we also see that he is in control of our time. It's God that decides when we return to the dust. You're not going to give yourself more days than what God has already allotted for you. You know that God has allotted your days already? God knows exactly how many days you have to live on this earth. And the great part about this is we don't have a clue. All the more reason why this idea and why the teaching of redeeming the time is so much more important. You don't know how much time you have left to buy back. Amen. It could be when you leave this building. It could be 20 years from now. Think of the things that you could do for the Lord in 20 years. God is in control of our time. God is the one who decides when man is going to return. But God is not comparable to time either. Look at the next verse, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You find that also over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. God says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Now, I'm a little bit of a math guy, so whenever I see stuff like this, my mind starts going and I start thinking a little bit, which is normally dangerous for me and everybody around me. But one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. All right, so that got me thinking. 1,000 years, that's 365,000 days, right? My math right? All you smart folks sitting down in the third pew, okay, my math is right. So one day with the Lord is the same as 365,000 days. Well, that got me to thinking. What's one day? What's one of God's days to us? One of God's days to us, doing the math out, is 32/100 of a second. When we spend a day to God, I mean, if we're just, let's just play with the numbers here. One day for us is 32/100 of a second to God. It's faster than that. Faster than that right there. All of our day, everything that we do throughout this day, the thoughts that we have, the things that we do, the words that come out of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, what we actually accomplish in our life, this entire day is like that to our Lord. You see, God is not comparable at all to time. We need to remember this when we think of time and how we're going to buy it back, because the next part of this is we just looked at the eternality of God and the way that God views time. The next part is the brevity of man. Because the next several verses show us that the man is just the opposite of God. You see, we are contained by time. Let's look there in verse 5. Thou carriest them away as with a flood is the first thing that God shows us, just as a flood. Hey, our life is just, we used to live in New Mexico, and in New Mexico they have what they call arroyos. Anybody ever lived out in the desert and places like that, you know what I'm talking about. We lived in kind of a valley there between two mountain ranges. And what would happen is you could have perfectly dry weather down in the basin. And it can be raining up in the mountains. And you don't get a drop of rain. And these arroyos are areas cut out. They have them in Los Angeles too. They're areas that are cut out throughout the city so that when the rains come down from the mountains, they don't flood out the city. They go into these valleys and they just wash right through. Well, as always, every year, there were always a couple of people that were drowned in these arroyos because the kids would be out there playing in these things, no matter how many times parents said, don't play in there. And it would be unaware to them that a flood was coming. And just like that, the waters rush through these. And that's what God is comparing our life to. Just as a flood. And you've seen it on television over and over. Floods that just devastate. And just like that, life is gone. That is the way our life is. God is not contained by time, but we are. It's first of all removed as a flood. Keep reading there in verse 5. As with a flood, they are as asleep. In the they're as asleep. Brother Dave can probably testify to this this morning. But you know how when you're really, really tired and you go to sleep, and I mean you're out, just gone. And then you wake up the next morning and you're like, did I sleep at all? It seemed like a minute went by. How many of you can testify of your life as being like that? Boy, it seems like just yesterday my wife and I got married. It seemed like just yesterday Brooke and Abby were born, almost 14 years ago. Life is like that. For us folks, life is like that. The importance of why do we need to redeem our time? Because life is just like a sleep, just like a good night's sleep when you wake up in the morning and say, where did it go? Our life is like that. We need to redeem our time. Continue reading in verse 5. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. Now, I know there's some of you in here that have know exactly what we're talking about out on the church property, wishing that stuff would just quit growing. You got to just keep going back and cutting it down and cutting it down. But isn't that the life of grass? It grows up and then it's cut down just like that. It takes a night, it seems like, for that grass to grow 3, 4, 5, 6 inches, and it grows overnight. But you cut it down and it's gone, and it's the way our life is. Our life is here today, and it definitely is gone tomorrow. We're helpless before God. We see there in verse 7, for we are consumed by thy anger, by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You know, God, not contained by time, he can see every single one of us. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we've accomplished for him. He knows what we've accomplished for evil. And he sees that, and that'll be revealed one day. Our life in verse 9 is as a tale that is told for all our days. Are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And then in verse 10, we see that our life is full of labor and sorrow. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and this is the moral of it, and we all fly away. You may live 70 years, you may live 80 years, you may live 90 years, but first of all, that life, I guarantee, is going to be a life full of toil. Those of you who are in there this morning and have lived 60, 70, 80 years old, come up here and tell me about how easy it was all 70 years of life. Well, life is full of toil. It's full of turmoil. It's full of struggle. And that's why we got to buy back the time. The days are evil, the Bible says, and we need to buy back that time, whether we have 20 years in our life or whether we have 80 years in our life. But now let me get down to verse 12, and this is where I really want to concentrate on this morning. First of all, we've seen the eternality of God. God does not view time in the same way that we do. We have to have a proper perspective of time, especially when it comes to how short our life is, how little time we have, and how quickly it goes by. So then Moses in verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days. I want you to notice that both in the passage that we began with in the book of Ephesians, it said the days, because the days are evil. I think there's significance to the fact that God chooses to use the word days, not hours, not weeks, not months, not years. The days are evil. And even Moses here in verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days. You see, that's a theme throughout the scriptures. Over and over again, days is a measure of time. And over again, we're encouraged to use days wisely. You know, God has already numbered our days. Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days. You see, Moses realized, you know, Moses lived 120 years old. And at that age, he said, I'm full of strength. He's got great sight, great vision. I don't even have that. Great hearing. Well, you get me and Kativer together trying to talk to each other. It's pathetic. He's got to stand on this side. I got to stand on this side. We're walking around like this trying to get the good ear to each other. But Moses, 120 years old, he could hear fine. He could see fine. He had the strength that he did when he was a young man. But sooner or later, that was going to end for everybody. And Moses said, because he knew God had his days numbered, he said, Lord, teach us to number our days. There's spiritual value of days. You see, growth involves learning to give our days to God. See, a day is not too small. It's not too short. But it's also not too long. You try to get me to go farther than a day and figure out what I'm going to do. Much less do for the Lord, but just figure out what am I going to do? What am I going to do the day after tomorrow? I don't know. I'm just concentrating on today. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just got to get through this day. Well, hey, that's the way we're supposed to get through our Christian life. Seriously. That's the way we're supposed to get through our Christian life. Teach us to number our days. Lord, help me to get through this day. Jesus Christ, when teaching the disciples to pray, said, give us this day our daily bread. Not, Lord, set me up for life with the bread that I need, the things that I need. No, give us this day our daily bread. Let's look at some things that the Bible talks about when it talks about numbering our days. Paul said, first of all, that he dies daily. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. You don't have to go there. Paul said, I die daily. You know we're supposed to put ourselves to death daily. Yeah, dead to sin. This old flesh that likes to take control of each and every single one of our days, we're supposed to put it to death. How many of you put to death the flesh this morning when you rose up? Lord, I'm going to be alive. I'm going to yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to walk and live in the Spirit. Romans, Galatians, I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm not going to walk in the flesh. Paul said daily we need to crucify our flesh. He said he dies daily. We're supposed to exhort one another daily, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How many folks have you exhorted this week? Look at your day yesterday. How many folks have you exhorted them in the Lord? Hey, we've got brothers and sisters that need some exhortation. They need some edification. They need some help. They need some encouragement. How many of us have concentrated when we woke up in the morning and say, Lord, show me who I can encourage today. Show me who I can exhort in the Scripture. I see a brother, I see a sister, and they're going off this way, and they need to be going this way. Show me who I can exhort today. We need to be living our days exhorting one another. We're to study the Scriptures daily. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, you find the Bereans. The Bible says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Folks, do we search the Scriptures daily? Are we in God's Word daily? I got to tell you, I've been saved for 30 years. I was saved at the age of 8. Do the math, you can figure out how old I am. I've been saved for 30 years, and I still struggle with being in the Scripture. Life is busy. Things come up. Schedules are... But do you make it a priority? It's going to happen. I'm going to... It's one another daily. We're to study the Scriptures daily. We're to deny self daily. Jesus Christ himself said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Again, I ask, when we woke up this morning, did we say, Lord, lead me? Lord, help me to deny myself and help me to follow you. We talked down in the college and career class, we're talking about the life of Peter. And we went over the callings of Peter and when he was called to follow Jesus when he was there by the lake of Gennesaret. And he was called to follow Jesus. Peter left all that he had and followed Jesus. From that day forward, it says that he followed Jesus. How many of us daily have sought, Lord, teach me to follow you today. Show me where you would have me to go today. You know, we can follow the Lord in your jobs. You can follow the Lord when you're at the grocery store. You can follow the Lord when you're running a half marathon. You can follow the Lord no matter what you do in your life. The activities that come up in your life, you can still follow the Lord, but I wonder how many of us are seeking to follow the Lord. We're to deny ourselves daily, follow the Lord. We're to pray daily. Psalm 88 and verse 3, and the psalmist says this over and over again. He said, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Again, how many of us are daily praying to the Lord? There's things to be prayed for. Just look at our country today. There's things to be prayed for. Look at your own life. Look at your family, the circle of people that are around you. How much time could we spend in prayer? And if we really wanted to, how much time could we spend in prayer? The Bible encourages us, though, to pray daily. We should be witnessing daily. Acts chapter 17 and verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, this is talking about Paul, and with the devout persons and in the marketplace daily with them that met with him. You look at the life of Paul, you look at the life of the early apostles daily. They were preaching the word of God. What a great testimony that we have from Brother Mel and speaking to those men. How many of us, and I got to testify in my own life, how many times have I met people? I mean, I've been in a lot of places. I've met a lot of people. How many times have I written people off? Or this guy's too steeped into his own religion, his own traditions. There's no way he's going to listen to. There's no way he's going to listen to the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than it. See, that's what we got to get. It's not about us, and it's not even about them and what they know and what they believe. It's about the Word of God. We got to get that. We should be witnessing daily. When we do these things, the Lord also does some daily things. It's amazing to see that we're encouraged, we're exhorted and told to do these things daily. But the Lord does some things daily for us. We don't have time to turn there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. The Lord renews us daily, the Bible says. Psalm 68 and verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Hey, he blesses us daily. He renews us daily. And he daily meets our needs, just as I told you when he taught the disciples to pray. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. God meets our needs and God works with us daily. But notice, though, in verse 12, he said, teach us to number our days. It is a learning process for the Christian to be able to redeem the time. It's a learning process for us to number our days and to spend each and every day the way that we ought to. Hey, it's a learning process to be in the Scriptures daily. It's a learning process, something we have to train ourselves to do, but it's also something that only God can teach us to do. But now let's look at this. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 again. Here's where I want you to notice the similarity of these two passages. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. We already said that means we're to watch, we're to walk diligently, we're to walk cautiously, not just going about and living our life any old reckless way, but cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 12 of Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We have to number our days if we expect to walk wise before the Lord. Our days have got to be numbered. We've got to focus on, Lord, what it is, what is it today that you would have me to do? I've already given you a list of things that we know that every single day we ought to be doing at least these things. Christian, this is how we buy back time. See, our days are evil. If we were to wake up tomorrow morning and just live our life the way that we would want to live our life, that day is going to be evil. See, nothing that is, our life that's not done for the Lord, a day that's not lived for the Lord is an evil day. The things that are not done in faith are things that don't please the Lord. We've got to number our days. We've got to be in God's Word. We've got to pray. We've got to be witnessing. We've got to be encouraging one another. Only then, when we've learned to spend each and every day, when we've counted each and every single one of our days for the Lord, only then can our hearts be applied to wisdom. Only then can we say that we've walked wisely and not as fools. Yesterday is unchangeable. Tomorrow is unknowable, but today is unrepeatable. Let me read that again. Yesterday is unchangeable. You all already know that. The things that you may have accomplished or not accomplished in days past, you can't change. Tomorrow is unknowable. Tomorrow could be the day when your days are completely numbered. But today is unrepeatable. Will you choose, Christian, to buy back this day? Don't worry about tomorrow. Will you choose to redeem the time, buy back this evil day, and use it for the Lord? Number this day. God's in charge. He has a purpose for you. So seize the day that God has given you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, there may be a lot of days ahead of us. There may not be any days ahead of us. I pray that you would continue to teach me, Lord, how to number my days. Teach me to focus upon you each and every day of my life. Help us to live our days on this earth wisely by numbering our days. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.